And now let me bring these three amazing people onto the stage. I mean, we got some really heavy hitters today talking about community and content, connection, all the C's, all the alliterations. Let me stop sharing. Yeah, give them a round of applause. I'm going to bring each one on stage one at a time. They're going to do their introduction, set the stage, and we'll get right into it. So here we go. Banu, let me bring you onto stage first. Here she comes. She's coming in from Australia, folks. It's like over midnight where she is. Like, she's such a rock star. Hello.
Hi, good morning. I mean, that still counts. I'm already in Friday, but, you know, it's still morning. So great to be here. Thanks for having me, Mark, and the whole AirMeet Interventions team. Like you said, I'm based in Perth, Australia. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Uncommon Conferences. We have been in existence since 2019. We started out as an in-person agency consultancy supporting our clients all around the world. And obviously, like most others, we had to move online in 2020. And that has just been an incredible journey and such a blessing in disguise, which I will talk a little bit more about later on the panel discussion.
Yeah, you got some fascinating stories, and fascinating tips. I love it. Welcome, welcome. All right, we're bringing on Christina now. Christina, where are you? There she is. Here she comes, everyone. Let's give her a nice warm welcome. Christina from HubSpot.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat, and thank you, Banu. Thank you, Mark. I work at HubSpot. I am the Principal Marketing Manager for Offline Community and Advocacy. I run our advocacy efforts program called HubFans. I also created our Inbound Correspondence Program, the after-hour show with George B. Thomas. And basically, the intersection of my work is social listening meets audience intelligence meets advocacy meets community. And thank you so much for inviting me. I'm excited to chat.
Yeah, Christina was on my podcast many months ago at this point. So thank you for doing that. And someone just who knows community in and out, right? So active. You got to like follow Christina on Twitter. Talk about some hot takes on Twitter. I love it. I love it. It's so good. And yes, Ashley loves Uncommon Conferences. I said the same thing. That name is great. That's a great name. All right, let's bring up the last guest for today who's joining us, Liz. Welcome to the stage, Liz. How you doing? Yes, give her a round of applause, folks.
There I am. Hi, I'm so excited to be here too. Thank you for the invitation. My name is Liz Lathan and I am with the Community Factory and we get people talking. So we have some of our own proprietary communities and then we support corporations building out communities by helping bring people together. So communities and events is our conversation today and that is really our sweet spot.
Amazing. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you to all three of you. Let's just set the table for everyone. Let me just pull up one more slide. This is not many slides we're going to be sharing today. It's all about the conversation and the engagement we can have with all of you listening. So first, we're going to talk about how events and community are like PB&J. We're going to dive into that in just a moment. Before we do, we're going to do a quick poll for you all. Then we're going to dive into our favorite type of events to grow a community. So use cases. How do we actually grow a community with events? And then how do you measure the success of your community building efforts? There's going to be some hot takes. Liz did this great LinkedIn post when we were right after we did the prep session last week. And it got us thinking. There's some great questions that people have proposed, some great points of view, I'd say, that we can kind of debate. And between each of these three conversation points, we're going to be playing a fun game today. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be very engaging. Let's get right into it, though. Let's pull up the first poll. Let's take a look at this because this is going to help us guide the conversation for all of us today. I'm going to bring this on stage. So for 2023, you know, can't believe it, right? Everyone's 2 months away. What are you folks doing next year in terms of your most important focus? Is it content creation? Is it community building? Is it customer advocacy? Is it account-based marketing? They're all try to be mutually exclusive, if you will. Let me ask each of you, start with Liz, and then we can go down the line. Liz, what is your biggest goal? And maybe it's not any of these. You can make one up too on the fly if you want.
No, I think my problem is that it's content creation and it's community building, but they're going to go so hand in hand that I have to pick both of them because the content is by and from and for the community and it builds the community. So I'm cheating.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's like tough to keep them mutually exclusive, right? How about you, Christina?
I'm going to cheat even harder and say that all four of them are because you kind of have to pull all of those levers at once to be able to get the most bang for your buck. So I'm going to cheat just a little bit more than Liz.
Yeah, she's not wrong. Banu?
Okay, I'm going to not cheat and just say I picked community. I picked community building. But it's kind of cheating because it's not just our community, the uncommon community, but also the communities of our clients that we work with. So there's lots of different communities going on that we're building. And yeah, I mean, I think there's enough work there for 2023.
Well, but you know what I see in front of me is the flywheel. It goes content creation, community building, customer advocacy, and account-based marketing. And it just spins and spins and spins. Yeah. And that's how you grow a business.
100%.
Great points. It looks like most of the audience, 55%, focus on community building. Makes sense. We're talking about community connection today. So like we can now tailor the conversation a bit more towards community building and then content creation, but it's definitely the winner today. So thanks everyone for participating. Appreciate that. Let's get into the first conversation point today, which is all about events and community. So we had, again, Liz did this great LinkedIn post. She presented a hot take and then other people chimed in with some hot takes. So let's pull this poll up and then have each of you give your answer to this question. Let's pull the poll up though first. we've showed on stage, events are not communities. Agree or disagree? And as people answer, let's go down the line. Banu, like, do you want to go first?
Yeah, since this was one of my favorite hot takes. I completely agree. I mean, events are not communities. Communities can be born out of events. Events can be the breeding ground for communities. And I mean, you know, we talked earlier about whether it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right? Events and communities. I think the cause or the challenge of a particular community, that's the PB&J. And then events is the slice of bread on top. And then maybe content is the slice of bread on the bottom, right? So that to me is the perfect PB&J sandwich, right? So what is that community trying to do? What challenge are they trying to solve? What is the cause that they're getting behind? That to me is the peanut butter to the jelly of the community. Just saying.
Good one. Are you calling on us or are we jumping in?
Jump in. Let's go.
Okay. So I know that the poll results are pretty 50-50 and I could argue on either side, but I'm going to say that events can be your community. And the reality is the event isn't the community at all. It's the people that are the community, because what they do after the event is what's going to drive whether or not they come back to the next event. But I just want to put out there that you don't have to have a 365 a day per year community in order for your community to be successful. You can have one of them a year, and that can be the community event where people come together. But just make sure that people can contact each other when that's over.
I can go. So I agree with both, but the way that I would handle it is that it's all in how you do the event. I think a lot of people do events incorrectly, especially when they're promoting it, especially in a post-2020 world. Events are the go-to for connectivity, and a good community and a good event will have connectivity. Yes, the speakers are the people who you get in the room and the people that you put on the promotions and the advertisements, but every single person that goes to a small or a large event, they talk about the hallway moments. They always talk about the hallway moments. They talk about who they got to have drinks with afterwards. So I agree with Liz. It can be community. I think an event done well will create those connective bonds that can then either become the community itself or can foster growth efforts with other communities. So it's not a yes or no, but yeah.
I love that. And I want to challenge people to think about your event agenda. Why do you fly people to an amazing location, then stick them in a windowless ballroom for 9 hours and then tell them they have to network in the hallway or at night? Why don't you? We did this back in January of this year. We went to the Bahamas for an event and we put all the sessions before 10 a.m. and after 4 p.m. And during the day, we made those the times that you're going to do networking activities and do things together and actually network and connect.
Yeah. And I think you could see this too with our latest inbound that we had in September this year. The speakers were amazing, but what was everyone talking about online? They were talking about finally getting to see their friends who've been in the community forever. They got to take selfies with Kyle Jepsen. Like they're looking, they go in looking for people. Like I need a selfie with this person. I can't wait to talk to this person. And so my response would probably be very different, like pre-pandemic. But the pandemic has shown us how how core connection is to our humanity, and how when we lose that, we are aching for it desperately. We're trying. That's why we do Zoom calls. That's why we go on social and hope that other people resonate with what we're saying. It's that connection that we so desperately need. And so events are the perfect way to build and foster that connection.
Ashley has a question in the chat. Events is too ambiguous. Are we covering hosted, attended, sponsored? Mm-hmm. How do you want to answer that?
Banu, what do you think?
You're asking me because you know I think the format actually doesn't matter. But I guess this isn't a format question. To be fair to Ashley, it's about the target audience, isn't it? Or the target participants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I still think it shouldn't really matter. Like if it's something that people are coming to, they're investing of their time and their resources to join, right? Whether it's, you know, you're hosted to do it or you're paying to do it, I don't think it matters, right? You're still asking those people to give up something.
Of the time, I'm going to the event for the community or because of the community, because if it's just content I'm consuming, I can probably get it online, especially now.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's an in-person training class or something where I actually need hands-on lab type stuff. But even then, I'm hoping to meet other people.
Yeah. And I think it also comes down to how are you treating these people? How are you treating attendees? Are they audiences or are you giving them other opportunities to connect? Are you fostering opportunities for them to talk to each other and connect outside of their relationship with you?
Mm-hmm. You both or all three of you talked about return on emotion. Maybe we unpack that return on emotion. I know, Liz, like you started to bring this up in our prep call. Let's talk about that before you play the first fun game. This is very insightful. This is kind of setting the stage for the next topic, which is the use cases. But like we got to talk, I think the overall thing is we got to talk about people, number one. It's all about people and emotion. So let's unpack this ROE.
So that's what we did this research study in 2021, because you hear you've got to evoke emotions in your marketing and drive brand loyalty, but no one ever tells you like what emotions you can actually evoke. And also, I'm not trying to drive brand loyalty. I'm trying to drive pipeline and revenue. So what emotion do I need to evoke to drive pipeline and revenue? And we in the experiential space don't really have a ton of metrics that we can go report on, except for that ROI, because that's what they really care about when we're trying to do that. So the research study showed that there are five emotions that you must evoke in your event environment in order to drive the relationships or drive the environment that'll drive business. And we use the acronym of HAM with three A's. That's hopeful, adventurous, active, accepted, and motivated. And you view those as like 20% each. If you can come up with those five emotions in your event, and the three A's are the hardest, adding adventure in there, accepted, you think that, well, if you're invited, you're accepted, but actively welcoming people in and making them feel like there's a place where they belong. And then active, give them something to do. And it doesn't just mean doing your wellness thing in the morning. It means involve them in the content. Whether you're sticky noting and crowdsourcing on the walls or putting workshops where people talk to each other, make sure they're active. Hope and motivated can totally be covered by keynote speakers and case studies and all the things. But get all five of those, get the people together to talk about them. Now you're driving the emotions they need to drive the connections that'll drive business.
I mean, I love the acronym. So let's have Christina, Banu, like, what's the one in that acronym, the H, one of the three A's or the M that you believe is most important to then community growth?
Acceptance.
Why?
Without question. If you don't belong, I can go to a circus. That's adventurous. That's very active. I could be motivated to do something. But if I don't feel like I belong in that space and I don't feel accepted, then not only will I not go back to that space, but I also won't encourage other people to go to that space because I don't want someone else to have a very similar experience than me. I don't talk about HAM, although I love that acronym. I talk about core memories. If you've ever seen the movie Inside Out, and it talks about these core memories. And I find that that's what people, when they talk about their community, without them realizing it, they'll talk about their core memories. They'll talk about when they felt accepted or they had a problem and felt stupid, but they reached out inside out. But they reach out and they'll be able to feel that acceptance. So out of those, for me, it's acceptance, because if you don't feel accepted, it's going to undermine all of the other opportunities for emotion in the acronym.
Yeah. I mean, I think hopeful has a particularly important role to play in this current moment in time, right? Because we are, you know, with the languishing and with the quiet quitting and all this sort of negative emotions that people have been experiencing over the last sort of 3 years, I think feeling hopeful is uniquely important right now. But my most important is probably the motivation part, because what we've noticed is unless people feel motivated enough about the cause, about the community, about why they're even coming together, it's like Liz said, you know, the event host isn't responsible for keeping that community going 365. The community is. So if they're not feeling motivated enough to keep that going, then it falls apart, right? And you feel like you're starting from scratch all the time. And again, you know, speaking from painful experience, so.
And I actually think that it's adventure. That's the one that I like to focus on, because it's the one that most event organizers forget to add in to their experience. And they, you throw a hospitality event in the evening and you've got your drinks and you've got your band or your concert or whatever. But where's the shared experience where you're doing something together that's really going to make you laugh at each other and have a good time and drive all those other things? So can you add an activity that's just that far out of everyone's comfort zone to do something? It doesn't have to be wild and crazy. It can even just be like axe throwing or something, right? But where's the thing that's like, oh, I didn't expect that to happen here, and now I can do it with other folks?
Well, especially in business events, right? I mean, there is this weird expectation that business events have to be boring. Like the more boring, the better their standing right. is.
Right, CEO. They want to have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. They want to be challenged. They want to get out of their comfort zone, 100%.
Yeah, like, I mean, we've done armadillo racing. We've done like just ridiculous things. People are like, really? Does it have leprosy? Can I hold this thing? Put on gloves. You'll be fine. It's great.
Love it.
This is so good. We're having a lot of fun, as you folks can tell. Hope you are too. Chat's blowing up. Let's play a fun game. Let's bring AJ and JP onto the stage. Here we go. AJ, JP, everyone can play this game. The three games, the first person to win this game is going to get $50 from Amazon. So definitely pay attention. This is super easy. All four of us are going to play it. AJ, JP, let's go.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, we're excited for our first game and to continue this fun. So in order to play today's game, you're going to open up a separate browser tab. And my cohort AJ here has actually just dropped a link into the chat window to play today's game. All you have to do, click that link. It's going to ask you for your nickname and fill that out, and you're good to go. So we'll give everyone just a moment to get into the game. See people logging in. We love that.
I'm ready.
And the first question is already up and running. What was that, Mark?
My nickname is Killens. It's my last name because you said I couldn't use Mark. So my last name.
I love the creative nicknames that we got, though. That's great.
It is.
Keep them going.
As you log in, it's going to ask you our first question. There is no wrong answer, but it's, are you ready to play? So a few more seconds to get logged into the game. And our first game is actually going to be a match game. Y'all remember the classic like 70s TV show match game? I think they actually have a reboot of it now, AJ. But we are going to play a classic match game with our panel here. We give everyone just a few more seconds. We got about 10 seconds before we're going to move on to our next question. Here we go. All right. I think we've got a decent amount of people into the game. So let's move on to our first match game question. So here's how this is going to work. Our first question is going to be for Mark. Your goal, everyone here, is to match Mark's answer. So our question, Mark, the B2B marketing buzzword most commonly used these days is what? Now, Mark, don't say your answer out loud yet, but I want everyone to think what Mark is going to say. And if you get a match, that's how you get the Amazon gift card. All right. So I've started the timer. Mark, go ahead and submit your answer into the game as well.
I'll give some hints too, as you folks think. So, you know, it has to do with content. It has to do with content. Could be another way you describe content. It's all on Twitter, LinkedIn these days. So many people are talking about it. What do we have? It's another way to think about content. Let's see if Liz and Christina Banu get it. Let's see.
I put in my answer before you gave the hint. I can guess what I would say now.
Mark, what is your answer for our first match game question?
Media.
Media. most commonly used word. Let's see if we have media as any of our correct answer. We have ABM, community, content, content creation. Are we counting content as media?
No, that's the whole point. It's just, yeah, it's media. Right. Media is media. Right. You know, it's like content.
Two people
media.
Got it, though. So that's the thing.
Oh, someone got it.
Yeah, we have one other person. Yeah, there's two people like that
two got, people
it. Got
it.
Yeah. So we got to get better on these hints.
No pressure.
Yeah. Well, Christina is up. Let's try with Christina for this next one.
Yep. Here we go. Christina, this can be your question. Remember, don't reveal your answer out loud yet, but type it in. All right. For Christina, that's who you're trying to match, y'all. The focus of a young community should be what?
I've already used this word today.
Ooh.
Ooh.
We love the hints. We love the hints. Already used this word. So if you're paying attention, you have the upper hand here. Got about 20 seconds left on the clock. Christina, do you have any other hints for our people who are still waffling on their answer?
What do you need to have when it's small so that you can build off of it when you need to scale it?
Yeah. I think I got this one. Not to be competitive or anything.
We love it.
What is your answer, Christina?
The answer is connection.
Connection. Ah. Yes, we had five people say connection. Acceptance was our number one answer, however. But connection, indeed, absolutely correct. Connecting. We'll mark connecting correct. All right. Our next match game question, Liz, we are coming to you next. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Let's do it. The one thing that can make or break a virtual event is?
And I type mine in here too, right?
Yes, you type it in. Okay. But don't say it out loud yet.
Yep.
What's the hint? Need a hint.
it involves your welcome.
Interesting.
And your acceptance.
Few seconds left. Type something. All right. Liz, what is your official answer that can make or break a virtual event?
The MC.
Oh, the MC.
It is the host, the welcome, the moment you come in, the energy, the how you feel when it all begins. That can totally make or break your event.
You're absolutely correct. You are absolutely correct. Well done. We had five people that said host or MC. So if you said host or MC, you got yourself a match. Banu, coming to you. Are you ready?
I guess I am.
The best way to start any event, live or virtual, is what?
Have Liz left. As your MC. No, I'm not.
Yes. Co-sign.
Number one answer.
Actually, the hint is this is connected to Liz. This is connected to Liz and the Community Factory.
Now, after we see what our final match is, we'll see who won this round and who's going to take home that $50 Amazon gift card. So a few seconds left. All right, here we go. The best way to start any event, live or virtual, is?
Let's see how many people have been to one of your events, Liz. You know what I said, don't you?
I'm going to go. I can say my answer was music.
Very close. And what do we do with music?
Dance party.
Yes. Wait, the time was up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
No, that's dance great. Party. Yeah, we dance got lots party. Of.
There is one
I think
dance
we're
party.
Gonna count music too. Yeah, we're gonna count music as well. Let's do that
yeah,
one.
Definitely.
Because you have to have music for a dance party. Yeah. Am I right?
That's right.
Exactly.
A little silent disco. Otherwise, yeah.
Dance to your own drummer.
Well, thank you guys for sharing. Let's see who our round one winner is. Little drum roll in your lap or your desk, wherever you're at. Here we go. Congratulations to.
Well, we can't do these folks because we nope, gave them no. points. So, yeah, we're going to drop down. Liz, is SB one of our panelists or no?
No, SB
wins.
So,
SB, way to go.
Congratulations. You are our first $50 Amazon gift card winner. We'll have more winners in our next game. But Mark, we'll send things back over to you.
Thank you. That was so much fun. That was good. Thanks, JP. Thanks, AJ. We'll do it again soon. All right, we're going to transition to the second conversation point for today. Let me pull up this poll. Here we go. It's all about event use cases to growing communities. So let me pull up this poll. Dun, dun, dun. Publish this one to stage. Let's have a debate about this. And then all three of you just chime in over the next, say, 8 minutes. We've got about 8 minutes. What are some of your favorite event use cases? Tell your story, share your examples. Let's start, though, first with small scale events are harder to execute well than large ones, but have a better payoff. Agree or disagree? Who wants to take it first?
I think I can answer this one. I don't think they're harder to execute. I think they're harder to talk to leadership about why that small scale event is actually worthwhile. When we talk about community, when we talk about events, in most cases, the KPI, the bigger, the better, the more people involved, the more money it brings in, the more revenue, all these things. We tend to see success as with big numbers instead of small. And so I don't think they're harder to execute. I think they're harder to pitch. They're harder to get buy-in for, especially when you're having to use resources for them. Whereas a large event, there's kind of this understanding that it's going to need a lot of money, that's going to need time, that you're going to do resources. So that's my answer.
That's a good point. I think you start doing the cost per lead calculation in your head, yep, and you start, oh, well, $1,000 per person looks a lot different than $75 mm-hmm. per person. So I can make it at scale because that's the buzzword, right? And then bring it down. But you're right. Then that connection piece, now you start having 1,000 people in a room, where'd the connection go?
And if I can just do a quick segue from Christina's point around what people find it easy to get approval for, you know, now that we're talking about content and connection, I was listening to a podcast today with everybody's favorite Julius Solaris, and he was saying that it's easy to convince the boss when there's content at an event, when there's clear mm-hmm. content at an event, versus someone mm-hmm. going to their boss saying, oh, hey, guys, I'm going to make loads of great connections. And apparently it's an awesome community to be a part of. You know, we're still in that transition period. I mean, some leaders, mm-hmm. I think, are getting it, but not all. So just a quick segue on the same point.
No, I think
that's valid. That's valid. I think there's also the opportunity at a large event. You also have more opportunities to have these micro communities. Yeah. So like I could go to a small event and my people are not there. I go in, I walk mm-hmm. right back out. But a big event, there's more opportunity for me to be like, well, in the big scheme of things, I'm not represented, but maybe there's a niche community in here that I can connect with and have that kind of intimacy of a small event, but coupled within the large.
Yeah, I think it's when you have a big, big, big event. When I was at Dell and we had Dell World, the big mega event, but we permitted those micro events to happen and encouraged them to happen and kept a big mega spreadsheet as the event managers of all the micro events that were happening and kind of let them go so that people can find their community, so that when you're dumped into a large room with lots of people, you do feel like you're starting to recognize folks. But Bonnie, to your point about the small event that's just not, that connection is the content, I think that's a really interesting one because we're seeing this huge movement toward wellness and retreats and all this stuff. And everyone wants to go to them, but no company is paying for them. We're doing one ourselves in December, this Barefoot Business event, and it is purely a retreat. And the entire content is the people that are there. Will anyone come? I don't know. So it's going to be a really good, interesting experiment.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I mean, I think I have sort of two observations on this point. The first one being the format issue, right? Is there something to be, and also, by the way, size is relative. I mean, what's a big event and what's a small event? Like how big is big and how small is small, right? And the second point is, should we be mixing up the format when we talk about big and small? So do we say that when you do smaller events online in between your larger in-person events, are you then kind of taking away this trade-off question and this, you know, payoff question, right? So you use the smaller online spaces to build that connection between people who can then come together in a bigger group in person to bounce off. I mean, again, same podcast with Julius today. I liked what he said. It's you use these online moments to build the anticipation, to build the tension that you can then unleash when people come together in person. And I thought that was really powerful. And it's something that we've done ourselves over the last sort of 2 years with a client who was only going to do in person every 18 months and then was forced to go online for 2 years, but then found it amazing for building that advocacy, for building that connection between smaller groups of people who then were really chomping at the bit to invite their peers and their colleagues to come to the in-person thing, which they otherwise wouldn't have done.
I think that's a great point.
So we talk about the difference between fans versus locals. And so we are building an audience of fans of, you know, if I'm a Astros fan, then I can be anywhere in the world and see someone with the Houston Astros shirt and feel like I'm part of their community and yay, go, hope we win the World Series, all the things. But if I'm a local, like I'm there, I'm in it, I know all the players, I don't know any of the players, I would be like truly going to all of the things. And so I kind of feel that that's how we can manage our communities. Is it an audience we need where we can put stuff out there and they can feel connected, or we want them in our inner circle? And it doesn't matter how big or small the inner circle is, as long as that connection capability is being created.
So we kind of talked about something I wanted to bring up, which is this great debate, if you will, about online versus in-person versus even hybrid. It sounds like you're all advocating for a blend of both, but does anyone have a strong opinion on when or when not to use a particular format out of those three when trying to start or grow an existing community?
I'm going to go with the safe answer and say it depends. It always depends on what they want. Like, great example. There are certain people who, if they come to a community because they want to have a question answered or they want content, like Lid said previously, that's something that she can get through virtual means. But I can't hug someone online. And so I think it's really important to see what that looks like. And so, great example, I work remote. And so I'm not close to any of the people that are on my immediate team at HubSpot. And I got to meet them all at the same time at Inbound this year. And the serotonin that just like flooded my brain when I got to be in the room with them was very different if I had been in the same room with them at HQ, just working. Yeah. There's this different piece. So I love the idea of when there doesn't need to be this level of intimacy, when there doesn't need to be this level of like physical connection, then that's stuff that can be done through Zoom, through virtual, through all those things. But I do think there needs to be that component where you get together to have fun. Like we talked about at our team, we were talking about like, wouldn't it be cool if we went to, when the next time we get to work together, it's not a work meeting. It's we go to Red Rocks and go to a concert together. We do something intrinsically fun and human. So save the human stuff for in person and save the other things, the things that don't need to feel human for virtual. So it's a little bit of both.
So, and I disagree with that. I think you can be so human on virtual. Banu and I have never met in person, but we've now known each other for at least 18 months. And I would do anything for her. If I needed to hop on a plane right now because she needed a ride to the hospital, it'd take a minute, but I would be there and I would take her. Like, I feel like the connections that we made, and of course it was forced during the pandemic, but I think back to my days in corporate where I was managing global events with global teams and I never met them, but I felt so close to them. And I think that virtual allows us that opportunity. We use the screen as a portal, not a boundary, and we can be where you are. And I love it so much.
I see. Okay. I'm going to fight.
Yes.
I feel the same way with my Twitter friends. If you follow me on Twitter, you know that marketing Twitter is very near and dear to my soul. So I love them. However, it's still a wall. Like I have people who are closer to me than family, who are my closest friends. But when I get to be in the same room as them, like just I need someone to do like a body scan when I get to meet the people who I've met virtually, because like the happy chemistry that goes on in my brain, Zoom can never create it.
Oh, I know. The moment
and if Zoom does,
I was going to say,
like, yeah. Unicorn. Yeah, yeah.
And so, to be
so
fair,
you can have the connection, but there's like, yeah. There's it's still a wall. Like yeah. There's still a ceiling to connectivity if it's virtual versus versus like I can hug them, I can hear them laugh, I can like So I'm fighting this a little bit.
And to be fair to you, Christina, Liz and I have made a promise to each other to see each other in 2023. Yeah. Like come hell or high water, we're going to make that effort. But I guess, you know, what she's saying and certainly what I've experienced as well is that not only can you form those connections online, but I find they're really useful for filling the gaps, for plugging the gaps that we used to have and that we used to accept, right? We used to be okay with only seeing each other once a year or every 18 months at something or other, and then just let all the time in between go completely to waste, which I now know is a waste, right? So I think that's what online is really good for, plugging the gaps.
And I think also our behaviors online have changed too. Whereas before, like we've, like obviously everyone talks about personal branding, but personal branding today versus personal branding in 2019 are hyper different. It was more polished, it was more curated. Now we're online so much and so often that you actually get the feeling of what someone's actually like. There's very little catfishing if you are spending significant online time with each other, because you're like, I know you're sassy, I know what you like, I know what makes you laugh, I know how you react to things. So there's this kind of shell that we've all kind of dismissed because we're all kind of terminally online now. Like I used to joke that you could never hide yourself on Twitter, because in order to be on Twitter long enough, you like your true self bleeds out. There's going to be a day when you're sick and you don't feel well, and you're going to be incredibly sarcastic and hateful, and everyone's going to see that side of you. Just things like that. I think that we've just become more human online because we so desperately need it.
Love this conversation. I'm going to just leave this in everyone's minds. Is now what we're experiencing because of the pandemic the stepping stone to then the metaverse? Don't answer that, please. Just think about it. Because it's kind of what you folks are just saying. That's just triggered in my head, right? Because we're always online and we're always doing video now. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation. Let's go to the fun game.
AJ, are you serious? You're going to drop that? He
just like drops a grenade and walks off. Don't mind me.
Another episode. Planting for the other in the future. Right? AJ, JP, let's get you back onto the stage here. Here we go. Show on stage. Pull him back on. Second game. This is going to be a little bit different, everyone. So get ready. More prizes to be had. It's going to be like a quick, Q&A match game, not matching game, but a trivia game, right?
Yes. We have trivia for game number two. We've reset the scores. The good news is another $50 Amazon gift card, though, is up for grabs. So just in case you lost the link, AJ is going to drop it back into the chat window. It should pick up right where you left off with your old nickname. If not, hey, maybe make a new nickname. Maybe it'll be luckier this time. I don't know. Here we go. Our first trivia question. First trivia question, I'm going to hit the start button here. HubSpot surveyed over 1,000 consumers for their consumer trends report and asked why they join online communities. What was the top answer? This can be multiple choice. Is it A, to share their same interests with others, B, to stay connected with their communities, or C, for fun? Timer has started. I should point out, Mark and team, the faster you answer, the more points you get. So, although there are no negative points.
Not to stress you out anymore, but yeah, get those answers in. This is a good one. I like this answer. Yeah, this Steve is, Harvey thinking.
Steve. It could literally be any of these, right? I mean, it's like,
I think these were in the top of, in the list. But yeah, we're looking for the number one answer, the top answer. So yeah.
Let's see how everyone answered. Most of the people said B, to stay connected with your communities. However, if you said C, one of my only two people that said for fun, that is the number one answer when they join online communities. Just for fun. Fun. Who would have thought? Well done. All right.
Well, that's why I'm part of one called Things with Faces, and it's all inanimate objects that look like a face. So I get it.
Exactly. See, it is all about emotion. You're right, Mark. Here we go. Next question. Who said it? People don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it. Is it A, Simon Sinek, B, Seth Godin, or C, Steve Jobs? A little multiple choice again for you here.
All have, great, great books to read, or maybe not a book from Steve Jobs, but his biography, autobiography, whatever you want to call it. Seth Godin, though. I mean, one of my favorite all-time marketers. Who was the original? I mean, Christina, you can maybe back me up here. Like, original inbound marketer, permission-based marketing. I mean,
yeah. I could read anything from him. He He's excellent.
So, Christina, is that what you said? Did you say Seth Godin as well or Mark?
I said Steve Jobs.
Oh, you said Steve Jobs. I said Cynic.
It's all about your why, Simon.
Yeah, let's take a look.
Let's see who said it. Most of the people said A. Simon, most of you are indeed correct. Well done. Simon Sinek is the correct answer. Let's move on to our next question. Question number 8. Next trivia question. This one's going to be an audio question. This one's really fun. I want you to identify the year that all of the following things took place. Here's your hint, because we love hints here. It was before Airmeet was born. So we're going to play for you this audio clip. We've got clips from news, from music, from sports, from movies, entertainment. Listen close. Tell me what year all of these things took place.
Fun team events. Want you to name that year.
Are we hearing that or no? Maybe I need to.
Yeah. Oh, we got it.
Oh, we were. Oh, okay. All right. We're going to play it again.
Fun team events. Want you to name that year.
Good evening. Just ahead of the spring and summer travel season, we got a sobering update on Zika today. The nation's top health officials warning that the Zika virus appears to be a lot scarier than first thought.
It's pretty normal to see people with their heads down, buried in their cell phones. But these people aren't exactly being antisocial. They're playing a game. Welcome to the world of Pokemon Go.
And for those of us lucky enough to be watching both here and in every corner of every nation around the world, 16 days of sporting endeavor that has no equal. We hope you've enjoyed the opening ceremony in Rio. And now, let the games begin.
This is the deal. You're going somewhere very bad.
Whoa!
Do something that'll get you killed.
So save the world.
There, but it's all from the same year. Yeah, don't Google this. Don't ask started. Jeeves.
That just means that Google knew what it was.
What year did all those things take place? Got a few seconds left on the clock. Dig deep into your brain of maybe where you were around those times, what you were doing. That's how I always remember. Like, go back, like, where was I when that happened?
And the big ticker at Google just saw a giant search for what year was.
All right, time is up. Here's what we had. Zika virus was that year. Pokemon Go was launched. The Olympics happened in Rio. Suicide Squad was the number one movie that year. And Chandelier by Sia was the number one song that year. Most of you all got that correct. Yes, 2016 was indeed the correct answer. Well done. We've got one final trivia question for you. See who wins this $50 Amazon gift card. What's the name of the 2017 event that left attendees stranded on an island without enough food, water, or shelter?
You have to type in your answer, not multiple choice here. So type in your answer.
It was not something that Liz or I organized, just to be clear. We had nothing to do with it.
But I do know someone who was there and was part of the organizing team, and he was the reason that cheese sandwich was made famous, because he made the internet network, which was the only thing that worked for the entire event.
We need an event just for the tea. I just want to hear everything. I need to know everything.
Oh, I would love that. That's a whole episode. That's a whole episode, Mark. All right. Let's see what y'all came up with for our final trivia question. Yes, most of you have this right. Fire Festival, Survivor, pretty dang close.
Hunger Games.
I think we should maybe count Hunger Games. Firefly Festival, also very close. But yes, Fire Fest is what we were looking for. Well done. All right. Another round of applause, or another a drum roll. Drum roll. That's what I'm looking for. Drum roll for our winner for
all the noises.
Number 2. Congratulations to Isabel. Isabel, mm-hmm. You are our lucky winner. Well done.
Nice job.
All right. So yeah, if you're the winner from our match game, we needed SB and also Isabel. We're going to have you put your email address in the game now so we can get that Amazon gift card to you. And then, yeah, if you want to plan a holiday or end of year game for your own team, you could also put your email address in there too, and we'll connect with you afterwards. Yeah. We also have an AirMeet booth, so we're going to be hanging out there. But our next game is going to be on a different platform, so we'll be ready for that.
That was fun, AJ.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you all. Cool. Back to y'all.
It's incredible. It's incredible. All right, I got something to ask the audience. Let's bring the audience back into another question, everyone. Here we go. Thank you, Tanvi, for spinning this up, because this came out of the conversation we just had during the second conversation point. Let me put this on the stage. What's the threshold for an event to be classified as big? When is there a big event? Votes are coming in.
I'm interested.
What do you think?
This is fun.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty easy thing to answer. It doesn't, you know, so you have to think about it, though.
I mean, the choice levels are, because I feel like personally, I'd probably say 250. So how do you go?
Oh, and that should be 1,000+, not 100+. So oops, my bad. Our fault. It's 1,000+. Anyone didn't catch that? 1,000+. Missing a zero. Hopefully some people picked up on that. Maybe that changes your vote. Liz, what do you think? What's your answer?
I would say when you get above 250, because now you really can't get into the smaller groups, like from a breakout room perspective, or it starts getting to where you're getting 40, 50 people in rooms together. And so my threshold, when we do community factory events, we don't go over 150 generally. But when we hit 500, we're like, whoa, that's a big event. But 250 is where I feel like you're just right there. They're still intimate. They're still perfect. I absolutely love 300-person events. I just think now you're starting to get big.
When it's a conversation-based event, or when it requires conversations and connections, exactly. Yeah? I mean, so not, yeah. We're not talking trade shows, exhibition floors, all that sort of
good
stuff.
Good clarity, right.
Yeah, yeah, I'd agree with you, Liz. I mean, but having said that, you know, if I've got a client who's, you know, got an intimate budget, as I like to call it, then to that client, you know, 100 people is a big event. It's like, oh, goodness, that's, you know, true. We're used to doing 20, 30 every quarter. And then once a year, we'll splash out for 100 people.
So, yeah, that's true.
It's true.
Christina, you're big.
I'm used to quite large.
What's big to you? 15,000? Yeah.
I think it depends on your team and your resources, because like a 250 people for a team, for like a team of one or two, it's going to feel like a big event. It's going to feel massive versus like inbound, where you have the inbound team and then you have other departments that step in to help and see like how they can make it right for their core audience that's going to be attending. So I'm the strategist in the room that keeps saying it depends.
Well, and then you get into like when you say big, sometimes I think of complex. So we love doing those things. I don't want to call them hybrid, but they are. But I would call it a live studio audience of 100 people with a broadcast to thousands and thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And so technically people would call that a hybrid event now, but I view it as an intimate gathering of 100 people. It just happens to be streamed to your fans, your audience, and everything else. And so for me, that's big because it's a little bit more complex and I'm reaching a broader audience, even though the small event is happening in person.
Yeah, so no, I think that's fair.
I got to ask you, I mean, when you, because I think Mark also kind of wants to jump on this H word here. When you say being broadcast to the people online, is there any interaction with them, or are they just consuming it? They're just consuming the broadcast.
Well, that's where, do we make hybrid a monster and hybrid must mean they must engage? To me, hybrid means that you can consume the content either in person or online. And me as the organizer, I have to make it available in either ways. You know, when I was at IBM, this is long pre-pandemic, we would always do these hybrid events, but you didn't expect that the online audience was engaging with each other. Yeah. They could engage with the content, there was chat or whatever, but you weren't trying to make the online audience network with each other. You were just getting content out there. Whereas in person, it was really networking driven. You get the content and then there's the after party and those people are together and that's where you're driving the sales and the networking and all that.
Yeah. I think that ties into your goals too. There's going to be some events that aren't community focused and there are some that will be. So is it more content or is it more community?
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. We're transitioning to the third talking. Yeah, the goals, right? It's like, how do you measure the success? The third kind of conversation.
Well, but you could split the goals because the goal doesn't have to be one whole thing. My online goal could simply be reach and leads, and my in-person goal could be hospitality, advocacy, and deal acceleration.
Yep.
This question that I just threw on stage is related to this now final conversation point. I think it's a great question. We should all take a look at it and share some opinions. Which sectors are staying virtual in person? What is happening to attendance rates? Like, because of the cost of everything going up. I heard, for example, like Las Vegas, it's 50 to 70% more money to do an event in Vegas now than it was in 2018. I heard that from about three people so far. So it's like, that's insane. Like, so what's going on? What's your hot takes on this topic, everyone?
Three times as much to do it in Singapore at the moment. Three times more expensive. Yeah.
I think that's, but I think it's more expensive because we all have Loom and Zoom fatigue. And so we keep getting more and more events in our inboxes to like, you should attend this, you should attend that. And a lot of us are working in tandem at the same time. And so it kind of plays in the background. And so to be able to actually be immersive, it feels like you do need to be in real life and go to like a Vegas or go to somewhere where you're actually disconnected. And so I think that that's why people are actually willing to pay some of those, because it becomes just not an event, but it's an immersive event where you're going to be going to a specific locale. Maybe you'll be able to go things beyond, like you were saying earlier, Liz, like you take people to this beautiful location, then you put them in a box with no windows.
Right.
I think that as event professionals, we need to be thinking about what is the real reason why people want to go and how is it special? How is it different from everyone else who's trying to get them to RSVP right now?
Right. And how can you be unmissable? I work a lot in the tech industry, and we definitely hear that a lot of the tech events are lower in attendance. We're seeing people are trying to get around the rules and like register as exhibitors so they can get permission to go, but then they want to attend because they couldn't get permission to attend. And so now we're having to mess with, are you an exhibitor or an attendee, and can exhibitors go into the sessions now when they used to not? But then there's other industries I'm working in that like industrial automation, robotics, supply chain, those are seeing double the attendance that they've seen even pre-pandemic, because when you talk about automation, robotics, and AI, a lot of the supply chain stuff is having to move to more automated because they can't find the workers. And so people want to see the demos. They want to go to the trade show and they want to learn from each other. And so those attendee rates are through the roof. So truly industry specific, it's fascinating to see.
And I think it's also important to note too, that if you're looking at who's attending, either as speakers or attendees, if they are dependent on their company actually being the one that's paying for them to go and covering lodge and airfare and travel, because a lot of people want to go, but they can't because their company's like, go, but you got to pay for it. And they're like, nah, never mind. So I think that's also a major thing that we're seeing in that drop off of in-person, is that it's really contingent upon whether companies are able to take care of the travel expenses too.
And, you know, when you look in the event industry at things like IMEX and some of those that have hosted buyers, they have not seen any challenge with attendees because they're able to take that friction away and cover those costs. Is there an appetite or opportunity for our other tech industry and other conferences to use sponsorship money differently and actually create more hosted buyer programs? Is that the future?
I think that's a really great point.
Yeah. One of the things I would love to see happen more, not just in tech, but any industry where there's complementary services, solutions, right, strategic alliance partners, is host a summit with one or two other companies that have like a shared ICP, shared customer base. Like, don't try to put on the whole summit just on your own. Like, imagine I gave the example of like Sixth Sense and Drift did an event together. You know, think about how much money you would save on fixed costs those two companies would save. And then you could do things like what you all saying, right? Like, just you can maybe lower ticket prices, get more people to come, or do more experiential things. I just think that's a huge opportunity.
Yeah, like I think I just saw DemoStack and Lavender did one together. They did a happy hour at a third party event. Like, let's just join forces. Yeah. That's cool.
So we've got like 2 minutes left. Rapid fire. What's the, and Christina, you can't say it depends. Please, no depends. if you had to pick one metric to ultimately judge, grade the effectiveness of an event, what would the metric be?
Wait, of a connection first event or of a marketing driven event?
or you of a community.
I love how they are the it depends now. Not me. I'm sitting here behaving.
I'm just looking for clarity.
Just pick one metric. You can caveat it.
Pipeline. Pipeline.
For me, if it's a connection-based event that is about a community, then I think it's about solving whatever problem, whatever challenge that community is trying to solve, right? And I guess this is my particular lens on it. You've heard me say it a few
times
today.
Not all it depends, because I could have said that too.
Okay.
I'm now the little devil on people's shoulders saying it depends.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You go, Christina.
For my work, and my work is different than theirs, but for me, it's MPS, because so much of my work is tied to brand affinity. Mm-hmm. And so I need them to feel special. I need them to feel like it was a great event. I need them to feel love. And then that creates all the other things. So like the cornerstone KPI for me is MPS. That's what I look at, because if they're happy, they'll do everything else and they'll lead to all the other KPIs, but that KPI has to be in place first.
And then I want to look back at all of you and say, isn't that all pipeline? Because we all love our communities and we all love our people and we all want them to get engaged and we all want them to network. And then we all want them to have loyalty to us to drive more pipeline and revenue. And I don't want to demonize community and make us feel like we're not the lovey-dovey people, because that's literally what all of us do is community. But in the end, the metric that matters, I want to push on that. Isn't it pipeline?
Mm. I want to see a world in which we incorporate the HAM principles into NPS and somehow create this much more coherent, you know.
Well, and that was the interesting thing with ROE is that with NPS, they have to already be a customer in order to recommend, right? So that's how you can say, yes, I recommend to a colleague. With ROE, if you get the ROE score, and we can talk about scoring another time, but you don't have to be a customer in order to be willing to do business. A high ROE score means that you've created the environment for it, and now you can make recommendations and are likely to do business. And so I do think that they work together beautifully.
Yeah.
Full circle. Let's give these folks an amazing round of applause. This has just been, I got a page of notes. I mean, it's like, come on, this is incredible. Banu, Liz, Christina, thank you so much for coming and joining us today. Hope you had fun. Hope you enjoyed the games. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Awesome. It was great. I gotta fix my bruises from Liz hitting me in the face.
Just put some music on.
Just a little slow over here. Little 1-2 a couple times.
That was the most fun panel I've ever been a part of. So thank you all for that.
Folks, if you want to stick around for the 10 minutes, head over to the cafe. JP and AJ are going to do the last game in the cafe at a lounge table. Check it out. I'll head over there right now. You can still win that last $50 Amazon gift card. But if you have to leave, that's fine. It's right at the top of the hour. Thanks again for coming. See you in the next Dimensions. It's November 22nd. More details to follow via email. Again, thank you all. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.